Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the podcast. It is the 16th day of April. My name is Joanne, back with you after taking a break for a few days. And I'll tell you what, it was much needed. And the thing that we're talking about today is practicing rest and stillness with the Lord. I'll let you know just a few things that are going on right now. Our church is in a transition time, where the senior pastor, who has been there for close to 20 years, is handing off to our next lead pastor. And in this 40 days of transition, we're doing 40 days of fasting in our church. This is so exciting. Now, I don't know if anyone is doing the full 40-day fast, but what they've asked us to do is to fast something for 40 days and then take one day out of the 40 to do a 24-hour fast. And so the whole church is invited to participate. Pastors, leaders, elders, everyone is also participating in this fast as we go into this transition. We're seeking God for what He wants to do and expecting really, really great things. One of the prayer groups I was in, the ladies pastor mentioned that things that need to be changed in our church is shame. And the other thing was busyness. And kind of this stillness and this rest topic, it attacks the busyness mentality that we find ourselves in so often. And so I just feel like God is changing the pace right now in a lot of our lives, calling us to spend more time in His presence, less busyness. And I find that we actually accomplish more when we obey Him and do that. We're going to start off with Psalm 23, verse 2, where it says, "He makes me lie down in green pastures." A friend of mine pointed that out one time. It's, "He makes me lie down." It's like, it's not a suggestion. You know, when He tells us we're supposed to rest and practice stillness, well, that's what we're supposed to do. And there's a real anointing on this right now. I want to encourage you throughout the weekend to take some time to sit before the Lord in quietness and stillness. Maybe put on some worship music, because there's just a real anointing on this right now. I know that, you know, raising children, there were times that it was time for them to go to bed, you know, and I'd put them in their bed and I might lay my hand on them and it might have been a little bit firm to communicate to them, it's time to lie down. Okay, and they might have wiggled for a little bit, but after a while they would settle in to that place of rest. And that's a lot like that Psalm 23, verse 2, "He makes me lie down." There's times that we feel the hand of the Lord on us and says, it's time to be still. It is time to rest. I know personally, you know, we can get to the point where our pace is too much. And I had this visual image. I drew it out of a candle. You know, you've heard burning your candle at both ends. And so I drew out just a simple stick candle and I put a wick and a flame on each end. And what I saw is that those flames, as it burns the wax, those two flames get closer and closer together. And pretty soon there's no candle left. Hence the phrase, burning our candle at both ends. And God doesn't want us to live life with that kind of pace, because it's actually damaging to us. I mean, whether it's emotionally or, you know, in our health or in our spirit, it's not the pace that God wants us to keep, because He is the Lord of Sabaoth. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. He is the Lord of rest. So there are times that He will tell us to practice that rest. I have a lot of scriptures to look at in practicing rest. And it communicates trust, okay? If we come before the Lord and we say, okay, I'm going to switch things around and I'm going to start practicing rest, it communicates, I refuse to be anxious about the things that are keeping me busy or keeping me uptight. Also, when we come and practice rest, we don't have to hear anything. We might hear something, but we don't have to. And what it does, what it produces when we practice rest, is we become aware of the one who is with us, the one who is ever present with us, who will never leave us or forsake us. And in our busyness, continual busyness, you notice this, we become less aware of his presence. And so returning to that place of stillness and rest is returning to that place of awareness as his presence increases upon us. Practicing rest, it's an act of faith. Let's see what it says in Genesis chapter 2. It says, on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. So Sabbath rest, and I'm not necessarily talking about a Saturday or a Sunday, anything that becomes legalistic. It is entering into the rest that God has for the child of God. It is blessed. Okay, there's a blessing upon it when we will do that. And it's also a sanctified work. God has set this apart as something that is holy. So why is resting an act of faith? Well, it means we're no longer trusting in our works. Okay, we're no longer trusting in our busyness. We're no longer trusting in how much we can accomplish, but we're trusting in what God will do as a result of us obeying his command to rest. As I said, it's communicating, I refuse to be anxious. Psalm 131, verse 2. Man, I love this. It says, surely I have calmed and quieted my soul like a weaned child with his mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me. The mature believer learns to calm and quiet their soul, which is their mind, their will, and their emotions. Think about an infant or a baby, how they cry to get their needs met, you know, or they cry to get fed, because they have no way of communicating. So they cry out, and the mother or the father, they run to meet the need of the child. And God does that for us, you know, as we're new in the Lord, as we're growing, we cry out to him, here he comes. But the weaned child is a child that is maturing, that knows all they have to do is ask their mother or their father for what they need. They know they'll be fed. They know that the mother and the father will satisfy them with what they need. They don't have to get upset anymore. They just have to ask. And this is part of our growth. We learn to calm and quiet our emotions, our mind, our anxieties, because we know our Father. You know, here he comes, meeting our need. He's never going to leave us empty. He's never going to leave us without. He's always going to provide everything that we need for life and godliness, as the scripture says. So, here's something else. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 4, because this is where we are told to strive to enter rest. It sounds like an oxymoron, but Old Testament, the Ten Commandments, it says, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. And what it became was a bunch of rules and laws, a bunch of do's and don'ts. And when Jesus came on the scene, you know, he did some things on the Sabbath deliberately to upset their traditions. And he even said to the religious leaders, by your traditions, you've made the word of God of more effect. By your traditions, you have made the word of God of no effect. And so he said, the Sabbath is made for man. It's actually to benefit man, not to make it a bunch of binding legalities. I'll get my words out here in a minute. And so the rest then that we see by Hebrews chapter 4, it talks about, let us be diligent to enter that rest. And that's in verse 11. Another translation says, strive to enter into rest. Okay, Lord, you want us to not be striving with all the busyness, but you want us to strive to enter into that place of spiritual rest with you. What is the message in this? And, you know, just like when we practice quietness and stillness with the Lord, we become aware of his presence. When we strive to enter rest, we become aware of the voices that are trying to keep us busy. We become aware of the things that are trying to distract us from the voice of God and the will of God for our life. And we learn to say no to those voices that war against our rest and our place of peace with God. So this is why we want to strive to enter that rest, so that we can say no to the things that draw us away from God, keep us busy, keep us anxious. Okay. We don't want to do works apart from God, because in that place of rest, we'll know what God wants us to do. And then when we obey his work, we'll be partnering with him. Okay. We'll be doing work with God. And that's the way we're supposed to live our life. You know, another benefit of staying in that place of rest with God, it reconnects us to God. And then he also connects us better into family and relationships, because relationships and family are also in God. So too much busyness pulls us away from those family relationships. And God never intended for us to burn our candle at both ends. So we're going to look back at this candle here for a minute. And I'll mention it again. It's like I drew out a stick candle, put a wick and a flame at both ends. And that's when I realized that as that burns at both ends, those two flames are moving together and all that wax is dripping down. And pretty soon there is no candle left. And that is never God's intention for a child of God. We have to recognize, and this may not apply to too many people, but we have to recognize when we're feeling burnt out. And in that time, God will restore us. He will catch us in his hand. But he's not just going to give us another candle to burn at both ends, okay? I kind of have to press into this. I think he's going to give us a lantern with Holy Spirit oil in it. I think that's how the child of God is supposed to burn. But if you start to recognize the warning signs of burnout, you're starting to recognize maybe in your health or in your mind or in your spirit that things aren't going well, then it requires a change. And you may need to go to someone and say, look, if I continue at this pace that you're requiring of me, I'm not going to be much good to you, to me, or to anyone else. And it's like sometimes we have to just speak the truth and say, hey, I'm reaching the point where this isn't going very well. And of course, you know, I'm not talking about, you know, being lazy or, you know, shirking off responsibilities or making excuses or complaining. I'm talking about really recognizing those warning signs when you've kept up too much pace. And I honestly ran into this in an area of my life just recently. And I realized I need to step back, practice a little bit more calmness. And oh, it's been so, so beneficial. And I'm giving God thanks for that. So he'll show us what we need to do. As I said, you know, he'll catch us in his hand. He'll show us what we need to do differently, because he loves us and he takes good care of us. Years ago, pastor that I listened to talked about the man, I don't know if he was in a circus or some type of show, where he had a plate on a stick and he would spin the plate and get it perfectly balanced and spinning. Then he would go to the second stick and get the second plate spinning, and then the third. But then then the first plate was starting to wobble, so he had to run back and get the first plate spinning again. And the idea was to get all these plates, you know, however many there were, spinning and balanced at the same time. And of course, he was pro at doing that and got a lot of applause at the end. But you know that if one of those plates fell, it was going to crash into pieces. And especially if all the plates fell, crashed into pieces. You know, God's desire for us is not to keep a whole bunch of plates spinning at one time. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. So Jesus wants us to be yoked up with him. Okay, not a bunch of plate spinning. There's a few other verses we didn't talk about calming and stilling ourselves. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I like the one that is in Isaiah 30, verse 15. For this is what the Lord God says, the Holy One of Israel. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence shall be your strength. You know, let's talk about quietness for just a minute, because I kind of ended the program on that. There's a lot of verses about quietness. We don't have to have the last word, okay? Oh, my. You know, when we're in conversation with people, that's another act of faith. It's just to trust God. We don't have to get the last jab in. It says Proverbs 17:1, better is a dry morsel with quietness than a house full of feasting with strife. There's another one from Isaiah 32, verse 17. It says, the work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness, and assurance forever. You know, when we come into that place of stillness and rest with God, nothing even needs to be said. You know, it's just a place of abiding together in quietness. That's a good place of peace to be with God, and that's what he's looking for from us. Okay? So, until next time.